When you think of the character traits of Jesus, what word or words come to your mind? Anyone? Caring? Compassion? Any others? He was always on time. His timing was perfect. That's good. Well, as I looked at this little passage we're going to read this morning, this week, two character traits of Jesus came to my mind. As I read, see if the same ones come to your mind. Listen for God's word to you from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" May God add His blessing to the reading and the preaching of the Scriptures. So as I said, I see two character traits of Jesus that just jump out at me in this passage. And the first one is courage. In our passage for today, Jesus is most likely in Perea, a region to the southeast of the Sea of Galilee, to the east of the Jordan River, a region that was ruled by Herod Antipas, one of the sons of Herod the Great. And it's hard to tell in this passage whether the Pharisees warned Jesus out of genuine concern for his welfare, or simply to get him out of their region, or possibly to strike fear in Jesus' heart. I tend to think that the Pharisees are doing this for some negative reason, though on the surface they're trying to sound helpful. It is Jesus' response to the Pharisees that shows his great courage. He calls Herod a fox. Very interesting. William Barclay explains that to the Jew, the fox was a symbol of at least three things. First, it was regarded as the slyest of animals. Second, it was regarded as the most destructive of animals. And third, it was the symbol of a worthless and insignificant man. And as William Barclay says, it takes a brave man to call the reigning king a fox. Jesus showed courage not only in the way he spoke about Herod, but also in the way he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem, knowing what awaited him there. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work." And this statement suggests that Jesus knew he was going to die, and that he would rise again on the third day. Jesus goes on to say, "Yet today and tomorrow and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." And that suggests that Jesus knew he was going to die in Jerusalem, and yet he went there anyway. What courage! Hugh Latimer was preaching once in Westminster Abbey when Henry VIII was present. In the pulpit, Latimer paused to perform a sort of soliloquy. Latimer, be careful what you say. The King of England is here. And then he paused and continued. Latimer, be careful what you say. The King of Kings is here. Latimer was later burned at the stake in Oxford, along with two other Protestant martyrs, Thomas Cranmer and Nicholas Ridley. I have stood on the cross in Broad Street in Oxford, where they were burned. Latimer is quoted as having said to Ridley on the day of their deaths, "Play the man, Master Ridley. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." Jesus was not only a man of courage, but he has inspired courage in millions of others down through the ages, just like you, Latimer. And certainly we live in a day where we need men and women, boys and girls, who have the courage of Jesus. A second character trait of Jesus that I see here in this passage, you've mentioned it already this morning, you've used a couple different words to describe it, but I would call it compassion. Jesus lamented over Jerusalem, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." What an evocative word picture Jesus gives to us. Tom Wright explains, he says, "Fire is as terrifying to trapped animals as to people, if not more so. When a farmyard catches fire, the animals try to escape. But if they cannot, some species have developed ways of protecting their young. The picture here is of a hen gathering her chicks under her wings to protect them. There are stories of exactly this. After a farmyard fire, those cleaning up have found a dead hen, scorched and blackened, with live chicks sheltering under her wings. She has quite literally given her life to save them." It is a vivid and violent image of what Jesus declared he longed to do for Jerusalem, and by implication for all Israel. The story is told of a family in the Midwest many years ago who saw in the distance a prairie fire approaching their farm. And thinking quickly, the father took a firebrand and he burned a circle around their farm and around their home, so that when the prairie fire reached the perimeter of their land, it stopped, because the ground had already been burned there. I would suggest to you that the cross of Jesus Christ stands on burnt ground. If we stand there with Jesus, we need never fear the fire of judgment or destruction, because Jesus has already faced the fury of the flames for us. Out of his deep compassion, Jesus longs to gather us under his wings and protect us. But we have a choice about whether we will place ourselves under Jesus' wings of compassion or not. Since today is not only the second Sunday of Lent, but also St. Patrick's Day, I thought I would close with the story of another person who, like Jesus, showed great courage and compassion during his lifetime. Here's a bit of his story from History.com. Early in the 5th century, an Irish ship beat against the waves along the western coast of Great Britain. On the far edge of the crumbling Roman Empire, a band of Irish marauders crept into a secluded cove and raided the village of Benavim Taberni. Among the plunder captured by the band of warriors dispatched by Ireland's King Niall of the Nine Hostages was a 16-year-old boy named Sukkot. Although brought to Ireland against his will, the teenager would go on to become Ireland's patron saint. St. Patrick may have been a foreigner who arrived in Ireland in the hold of a pagan king's slave ship, but he would become synonymous with the island itself. Established facts about Patrick's youth are few, and much of what is known about him comes from the saint himself and his short biography, the Confessio. Patrick was born into a well-to-do family around 386, and he grew up along Great Britain's western coast, likely in Wales, which was part of the Roman Empire at the time. His father was a Christian deacon and a minor Roman official. His grandfather, a priest. The raid that tore him away from his family was not all that unusual in the early 5th century. As Roman power waned, forays by Irish raiders grew more common. On a regular basis, they plundered animals and clothes and snatched children from their sleep in the middle of the night. They abducted young men to herd sheep and cows and young women to serve them. Ripped from his home, Patrick herded sheep for a local chieftain on the slopes of Mount Slemish in County Antrim in the north of Ireland. Deprived of food and clothes, Patrick lived in virtual isolation. His only companions were his flock and his newfound faith. Amid the desolation, Patrick's Christianity blossomed. He prayed as many as 100 times a day and matched that total at night. Patrick wrote in the Confessio that 6 years into his captivity, an angel appeared in a dream and told him, "You have fasted well. Very soon you will return to your native country." And the angel told him of a ship leaving Ireland, and the young slave walked across 200 miles of peat bogs and forests before arriving at a port, possibly Wexford, where he found a cargo ship bound for the European continent. After the captain refused him passage, Patrick began to pray. And before he could finish, a sailor from the ship came shouting, "Come quickly, those men are calling you." And after learning that the captain changed his mind, Patrick sailed away from Ireland, believing that God's protection must have been responsible for his unlikely escape. In St. Patrick's telling in the Confessio, he almost died after his escape from slavery. After landing on the continent, the ship's crew found itself wandering for weeks in a wilderness devoid of food, and they began to chastise Patrick for his piety. "What about this Christian? You tell us that your God is great and all-powerful. Why can't you pray for us since we're in a bad state with hunger?" the starving sailors asked him. "Turn in faith with all your hearts to the Lord my God, because nothing is impossible for him," replied the young man who led them in a prayer that appeared to be immediately answered with a stampede of pigs that crossed their path. Patrick had his first converts. He eventually returned to his family in Great Britain. His parents begged him to never leave them again, but the religious visions returned and presented Patrick with a different plan. He heard the voice of the Irish call out in the night, We beg you, holy boy, to come and walk again among us. After a period of religious training, he was ordained a deacon in 418, and in 432, consecrated as a bishop and given the name Patricius. Although many freed slaves would have dreaded a return to their place of captivity, Patrick asked for an assignment as a missionary to Ireland. And when he returned to that pagan island, he tended to a different type of flock than he had before. His knowledge of Ireland's language and customs facilitated his work in converting and baptizing Druid priests and chieftains and aristocrats by the thousands before his death on March 17 in 461. You and I live in far different circumstances than either St. Patrick or Jesus. But may our Heavenly Father grant us the same courage and the same compassion in our daily lives. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for this brief passage of Scripture that gives us a window on the personality of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. A little window that shows us his combined courage and compassion. There's some of us who have one or maybe the other, even in abundance, but few who have both of those qualities together. But in Jesus we see them perfectly blended. And Father, we live in a time that you know better than we do, where we need those character qualities of Jesus, and we need them in abundance. We need courage to face the darkness of our times, and we need compassion to shine a light for you in the darkness. Lord, we know that means in some situations we might have to be broken first, just as Jesus was broken on the cross for us, just as Patrick was broken through slavery. And yet it is through those experiences of breaking that your light shines through most clearly and most powerfully. Do your work in us, your work of courage and compassion, even this week where we live. For we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.